Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Ah, Uncle Jaseneb, life, liberty, prosperity, yet another decree stolen from you and me. The ancestors of the Nile Valley left us other messages too, like, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food.
Why is food and drugs under the same administration? They putting drugs in the food to keep money accumulating now. They like to call it additives and preservatives, slowly killing everybody that purchases it. Can you pronounce what's on the back of the label? Then that shit we need to keep off our dinner table now. The food is what's fueling these diseases, paying rich doctors all these medical fees, but they never cure you, they just keep you in need, cut you open for surgery and let your pockets bleed. See, we got away from what we used to eat. We forgot we were kidnapped and forced to eat meat. We ate from the earth, so we communicated with it. We cut the conversation, now check the situation. See, blacks the leaders in heart disease, cancer. We give them money like pills is the answer. Damn, I'd be wrong if I didn't pass the info. Hormones in the food got you thinking like a nympho. Wonder why all these young girls so thick, like a baseball player. Steroids is it. They got it in the vegetables, the fruit, the meat, and all the fast food they be selling in the street. It's a war going on, and our diet must reflect it. We all got the power, we just gotta direct it. Neglect it, never. Refer to the metal nature that I'm hope test the father of medicine.
Greetings, family. Thanks for joining us again for another edition of Food for Medicine. We all have been gone for a while. We took a little hiatus, but we are back. Dr. Adira, are you there, my sister?
Yes, I'm here. Yes, peace, I'm family. And welcome back.
Welcome. I'm excited. How about you?
I am very, very excited. I miss this show so much. Yes.
I know you do. I do as well. And it's good to be back. And I'm happy to hear you too, my sister. So what's been going on? I know you kind of, you know, had to do your thing or whatever. So
yes.
I know you've been doing some traveling and learning some more things. So what's been going on with you?
I mean, pretty much what's been going on with me is just, like you said, just doing some traveling, visiting family. You know, I'm still in school, even though I finished with one training. I also have my my personal life, like my I have to go visit family when I have a chance. And then I had some internships that I did. So, you know, a lot of that took up, you know, the time that I had to have a break.
Yeah,
so,
I know you've been
so, you know,
pretty
busy. Yeah.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same for me. Since we've been on our last show, I've relocated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of things going on in my life as well. So we've kind of been busy, but we took some time back to come back to the family. And we've missed you all as well. So I guess we can, you know, the seasons are changing now. It's,
right.
You know, fall or autumn is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another dynamic show in tune for tonight. And the topic, well, let me just go ahead and introduce myself for those of you who may not be familiar with me, but I'm pretty sure a lot of
right.
you are. I'm Kenya Jones, a.k.a. My last name has changed to Mansa Ray, so that's going to be reflecting as well. So, you guys, I'm still KJ, you know, so y'all still call me KJ. So, and my sister, Dr. MCV Adiro. Oh, yeah, and I'm an herbalist, you guys. I'm an herbalist,
yes.
You know, nutritionalist. So I'm just ready and interested in hearing this show to put my tonight, but I'm going to go ahead and let her introduce herself, and then we'll get into the topic of the show.
Yes, thank you, my sister. And for those of you who are new to Food for Medicine that may not know who I am, my name is Dr. Afibi Adiro, and I'm a naturopathic physician. I use holistic therapies that complement the body, such as diet, nutrition, which is my most passionate modality, but also things like hydrotherapy, acupuncture, chiropractic, manipulation, and anything else that will just help the body in utilizing its own self-healing power. And like I said, using food as medicine is my passion, which is why my sister and I have brought our our magical forces together to bring you food for medicine. And this is basically our way of contributing to the community what we know and what we feel is very important for us to understand as a people, how to heal yourself through what you eat, because you are what you eat. So,
another dynamic topic today.
Yes.
Yes, another dynamic topic, but I do want to go ahead and get the premise together.
Oh, that's right, the premise.
The premise, yeah, for those of you who might be wondering what is food for medicine. Well, the premise for food for medicine is to enlighten African people on how to use food, not just as an alternative to medicine, but also to use it as it was intended by our ancestors. This show is designed to teach you how to eat to live instead of living to eat. Wow. Now, the topic, let's get into the topic. Now, as I told you all, we're back for the season. The new season is coming up, or is about to be changing pretty soon, in autumn. And my sister brought the topic today. Can you explain why you chose the topic today?
Sure. So, we are in fall. We're in the season where we're coming into the season. Some of you have already been there, I know. But for other people, for example, like in Arizona and maybe parts of California, other places that maybe we're just now getting into where the temperature is starting to change. But we are coming into that cycle. So, you know, like for those of you who have been with us for a while and listened to the show, you know that I like to do a show around the time when the seasons are changing, just so that we're conscious about things we should be doing, things that we can incorporate into the changes in the seasons. So because of that, I decided to do an autumn herbal medicinal show. Because when you think about the spices and all of the herbs that people traditionally use during this time of the year, you know, yes, they make the food taste great and everything, but they also, a lot of these herbs, for example, like allspice and cinnamon and nutmeg, and all these things also have great medicinal properties. And I just wanted to bring that into our consciousness today, you know, as we are utilizing them. And if we're not utilizing them, why we should incorporate them into our kitchen healing laboratories, as I like to call them. It's not just a kitchen, it's a healing center of the house, and you should definitely keep these herbs in stock, not only to flavor the food, but also heal you and your family. So we're going to talk about that today.
I love it.
Yes.
Well, go ahead. So I'm happy we're talking about this, especially being that it's, you know, the seasons are changing, and a lot of us aren't familiar with the spices or herbs or even fruit and vegetables of certain seasons. A lot of us are out of there, so many different things being imported and, you know, brought into stuff that's out of season and things of that sort. I think that this is about to be another dynamic show. So I'm ready, like I always say all the time, everybody, make sure you have your pen and your pad ready so you can take notes.
Yes.
Because this information, if you don't use it yourself, you can pass it down to someone who can utilize it. So I'm ready when you listen to it.
Okay. I don't want to forget too. So this is a live call-in show, y'all. So if you have a question, a comment, or you want to, you know, just add to the discussion, you can call this number 646-716-7572, and then you can press the number 1 if you do want to raise your hand, and we'll get to you in the order that you have called in. If not, then you can also just use this number to sit and listen and, you know, enjoy the information that you're receiving. So I'm going to get right into it, because you know how I do. I always have a lot of information to go through just from my little notes that I take, and then, you know, I go off top. So, yes. All right, so autumn herbal medicinal. So really common spices and herbs that add to what we're trying to achieve in the more colder months is warming. So a lot of the herbs that we're going to talk about today are going to be warming, they're going to be harmonizing, they're going to be those comforting type of herbs, those things that you associate with fall, and, you know, like gingerbread and different types of ciders and different kinds of cakes and jams and stuffings and things that we eat are going to contain these spices, and they're going to be familiar. But, you know, we're going to talk about how they're medicine. The first thing I have is allspice. That's the first thing I have on my list. Allspice is one of my favorite herbs. I love allspice. And for those of you who have never tasted allspice, it is a – it's reminiscent of a mix of, like, cloves and cinnamon and nutmeg, hence the name allspice, because it is reminiscent. And it's similar in flavor to those different herbs mixed together. Now, whole or powder allspice has been known to be a staple in many different countries, especially like the Caribbean. It's used in many different dishes like jerk seasoning, sauces. They use it traditionally in pickling of different vegetables. You can put allspice on meats, vegetables, and it's been used to flavor liquors as well. And in many Western countries, like if you're in the U.S., we're familiar with it being in a lot of desserts, pumpkin pies, banana bread, bread pudding, gingerbread. It's just a really, it's a very fall, autumn type of herb. But along with these culinary uses of allspice, allspice really has a very potent therapeutic effect on the body. All parts of allspice are used in traditional folk medicine. For example, many people in the Caribbean drink a hot tea with allspice and sometimes some other herbs in there, but it's used primarily for respiratory, upper respiratory distress, such as like colds, flus, you know, cough, any type of a potential pathogen being in their upper respiratory tract. But it's not limited to just the respiratory system. It's also used for dysmenorrhea or menstrual cramping. It's also a great stomach soother, so it's used for dyspepsia, upset stomach, sour stomach, indigestion. I had some friends from Costa Rica that told me that they use allspice to treat upset stomach, and it's been known to help with blood sugar imbalances as well. So I had some empirical evidence because some people I knew actually said that that's what it was traditionally used for where they're from. Also, I read in a study that in Guatemala, they also use this to help with, they use like the berries of allspice to help with sore joints and myalgia, which is muscle aching. So people that suffer from musculoskeletal problems, stiffness, tightness, pain in the joints, pain in the muscles, stiff muscles, allspice tea, and just putting allspice in your food can also help with the inflammation that is associated with that. Also, you can see allspice used in herbal mixtures to relieve other digestive disturbances such as, you know, like parasitic infections, as well as, you know, gas and bloating. It's just a great digestive soother. And I believe that they also use it in Ayurveda as well. I think they use it for similar applications as, you know, they do in the Caribbean. But as you can see, this spice is pretty widespread, and many, many different people use it. Let's see if there's anything else that I wanted to mention about the – okay, no. And a lot of the properties that allspice has as far as its therapeutic value are really – all within its essential oil. The essential oils contain many different types of phytochemicals, which are basically just constituents in the plant that are like aromatic. Some of them are antioxidant, some of them are anti-inflammatory, but they all really help the allspice to create its medicinal action. Oh, another thing I wanted to mention, too, is that allspice, because of its essential oil, is very good for increasing circulation. So when I mentioned that the musculoskeletal complaints that allspice is used for, because it increases circulation, if you have stiff joints, if you have muscle pains, muscle aches, then you can use this because it will increase circulation, which is also good if you have cold hands and cold feet. Because allspice is warming, it's technically a warming herb, it will also help with that condition as well. Now, back to the essential oil. Allspice has a very potent phytochemical called eugenol, and eugenol is known to stimulate many different enzymatic processes in the body, as well as the circulation. But most especially, digestive enzyme stimulation is what eugenol does. And this is the reason that allspice is used primarily as a digestive, because when you take it in, it causes the different organs in your body, like your pancreas, your liver, and your small intestine, to secrete enzymes like lipase, which digests fat, and amylase to digest starch, and all your digestive enzymes that help with breaking down different parts of your food. So if you are a person that suffers from indigestion, allspice tea or putting allspice in your food would be really, really beneficial for you to help with handling especially starchy or very proteinaceous foods, or foods that are really heavy in protein. So it would be something that you could serve before a meal, like especially a large, heavy, greasy, heavy meal. And then I would even serve it after a meal just to help kind of soothe any kind of, like if people overindulge, especially during the holiday season, it would be a good tea. Or like even if you put it in some other food after a dinner has been served, it would be very good for helping people to digest those large meals. Eugenol also has analgesic effects. So analgesic is pain relieving. So this is why allspice is often used as an anesthetic in some countries too, and in some natural alternative dental products. For example, there are many different like toothache remedies that you can find that will have the essential oil of allspice in it, because it's similar to clove, actually. And I'm going to talk about clove today, but it has that component within its essential oil that it has like a numbing effect. So if you put it on the gums or on a tooth that is aching, or any kind of oral sore or any kind of painful lesion in the mouth, it can help to give you maybe like an hour or so of relief. It's not something that lasts a very long time, so you have to reapply it, but it is very effective. I've actually used a blend of allspice and clove oil before for toothaches. Specifically, it was for wisdom toothache. A few years back, I used to have some really painful wisdom teeth. You know, like if you've ever experienced a wisdom tooth that is like partially, you know, coming out, or just a wisdom tooth that is very aggravated and inflamed, then you know the kind of, you know, pain that can be. And I actually never used painkillers for it. Like, this is before I got it, you know, I eventually got my wisdom teeth extracted, but while I was dealing with it, I never took painkillers for it. I would just put clove a mix of clove and allspice essential oil on the tooth, and it would really, really help with that pain. And not only was it helping with the pain, but toothaches a lot of time can be caused by bacterial infections as well. And until you can get to the dentist, it'd be good to apply something that is antimicrobial so it doesn't spread the infection, so the infection doesn't get worse, and to decrease the inflammation so that you can actually, you know, cope with the affected tooth until you can see a dentist. So this is a really good herb or essential oil of this herb to have on hand for things such as that, and it actually works very well in this kind of an acute situation. And speaking of using it as a painkiller, allspice is also very good for nerve pain as well. So if you're somebody that deals with nerve pain, like neuropathy and things like that, of the hands and the feet, you can also take this herb to help with that as well. You can put it in the food. You can drink the tea. There are even creams and oil blends that you can find for topical application, like massage oils, that you can apply to your hands and to your feet, and it can help bring circulation and help with that pain, that specific type of pain that is associated with nerve damage. So definitely a very great herb. And allspice is very anti-inflammatory. The eugenol, the essential oil component eugenol, is extremely anti-inflammatory. And this adds to its ability to decrease pain in the body because, as I mentioned before in many other shows, pain is associated with inflammation most of the time. So if you can get the inflammation down in the body, then usually those pain, especially things like chronic pain, pain from autoimmune disease, arthritis, and things of that nature, are usually due to inflammation. So this is great. If you are already consuming a diet that is anti-inflammatory, this is great to just boost your efforts in that regard. So allspice is like an all-purpose fall herb to keep in your cabinet, you know, which if it's used consistently, and this is the thing, with most of these herbs, you're not going to notice, except you're using the essential oil for a toothache. It'll work pretty immediately. But most of these herbs, including allspice, you need to eat or incorporate within your diet consistently in order to see the real effects of them, because the body didn't get sick overnight. You didn't become inflamed. You didn't become, you know, you didn't get the infection overnight. So you need to also make sure your diet is continuously healthful, and then you will see the changes happen. So allspice, one of my favorite herbs. That's all I have to say about that one. Now, let's move on to cinnamon. Oh, another one of my favorite herbs for the fall. I use cinnamon pretty much all year round in something. I have cinnamon probably every week in something. But, you know, because we're in this time of the year, cinnamon is going to be more heavily utilized. Now, cinnamon, just to give some more background about it, is a really common spice used by many different cultures. And it's obtained from the inner bark of the cinnamon tree, which is actually an evergreen. It's a tropical evergreen plant. And there are two different varieties of cinnamon, for those of you who didn't know. There's the Ceylon cinnamon, and then there's the Chinese cinnamon. And then, of course, in addition to culinary uses, it has many different medicinal applications. For example, it's used for upper respiratory distress and infections, it's a digestive aid. I've even seen it used in Ayurvedic medicine for gynecological complaints. I've seen it used topically. I've seen people take it, you know, to help with cramps. I've seen people put it on vaginal infections, like, you know, yeast infections, all kinds of things. I'm not sure. I haven't used it for gynecological, but I know that people use it for that. So that's definitely something that we all can research. Almost every part of the cinnamon tree, including the bark, leaves, flowers, fruit, and roots of cinnamon is utilized. And it all has some type of medicinal or culinary use. The volatile oils now in each of those components of the plant are different. So there are certain amounts or types of volatile oils in the bark, and that's different from the leaf, which is different from the root, which is different from the bark. And because of that, different parts of the cinnamon plant are used traditionally in different applications. So, for example, in cooking, we'll usually be seeing the bark, the leaves, and maybe the flowers used, but mostly the bark and the leaves. And then for flavoring things or for, you know, for medicine, a lot of times the roots can be used, and the fruits are used for that. Now, let's see. Oh, I want to talk really quick about the differences between the Ceylon cinnamon and the Chinese cinnamon. Now, the Ceylon cinnamon is what is called the true cinnamon. And the way that you can tell, or at least the way that I have been taught, or where I have come to know to tell the difference of cinnamon, and this is, of course, if you go to the store and you buy Ceylon cinnamon in a, you know, in a shaker, and it says Ceylon cinnamon, of course you're going to notice that. But let's say you're only able to get the sticks of cinnamon, or you're only able to, you know, get like the bark that's been already kind of broken up, but you can still, you know, see the shape of the cinnamon stick. The way that you can tell the difference is when you look at the stick, and if you look at the side that's been cut, you can see whether or not the bark has been, if it looks like the bark is one smooth curl, it doesn't look like it's been broken up, it doesn't look flaky or anything, if it just looks like a nice smooth curl of the bark, that more than likely the Ceylon cinnamon, the true cinnamon bark. Now, if you look at the bark and you look at that side, the sides that have been cut, you look directly at it, and it looks like it's kind of flaky or it's not as smooth, then more than likely you are dealing with the Chinese cinnamon. Now, each of those cinnamons have similar properties, and, you know, you can utilize them in food and for as the herbal medicine. But one reason why you should opt for the true cinnamon over the Chinese cinnamon is because the Chinese cinnamon has more of a constituent called coumarin. And not coumadin like the drug, but coumarin. And coumarin has been shown in many studies, and this has been, you know, known for a long time. When coumarin is ingested over long periods of time or at high doses, it can cause hepatotoxicity and kidney damage. Hepatotoxicity is just toxicity of the liver. Now, while people may not consume cinnamon every day, and it takes a lot of cinnamon, you guys, for you to actually get to that toxicity, but the thing is that during certain times of the year, in this country at least, we eat more cinnamon, you know, in things during, like, the holiday season or during the fall when, you know, these types of foods are in season. And people can consume more large amounts of cinnamon during that time. And because of that, they have seen cases where people have eaten enough of this Chinese cinnamon, if somebody's using it in their food, to cause changes in liver chemistry, to cause changes in the kidney chemistry. And especially if you are dealing with, if you are already dealing with pre-existing kidney damage, liver damage, then this can be, you can be more susceptible to that happening to you. Now, I'm not saying that if you sprinkle some Chinese cinnamon on your toast, or if you sprinkle a little on your cider, or put some in, you know, in a baked dish or something, that it's going to cause you liver damage. But let's say you're eating foods like this all month, you know, and you have a weak kidney, or you have a toxic, you already have a damaged liver, you can, you know, run into these problems. So, with that being said, just use the true cinnamon as often as possible. I mean, I think it tastes better, honestly. I think that the Ceylon cinnamon just has a richer cinnamon flavor that we want. So I use it primarily anyway, but this is just something that you can be conscious of. And if you didn't know the differences between the cinnamons and which one is which, now you know. Now, true cinnamon has multiple health benefits, such as it being antimicrobial. I've even seen it being effective in candida formulas. It's also effective against periodontal bacteria, the bacteria that causes plaque and, you know, tooth infections, gum infections, and periodontal disease, gingivitis, things of that nature, which is why you'll see cinnamon in a lot of toothpaste, mouthwashes, and things like that that are herbal in nature. I've also seen it effective in salmonella. People use it in formulas, in herbal formulas, for people that have salmonella poisoning. Now, you know, salmonella is pretty self-limiting. Usually you just kind of, your body eliminates it pretty quick. But, you know, I've seen naturopaths use it in formulas just to help people with food poisoning as well. Cinnamon is also an antiparasitic, and its essential oil has been especially known to be very irritating to parasites. So let's say that you know that you have a parasitic infection, you can use cinnamon along with other antiparasitic oils or antiparasitic herbs to help the body to expel them. It also makes it very difficult for those parasites to continue to adhere to the intestinal wall. So it's a good all-encompassing herb to add to an antiparasitic formula. Cinnamon is also very abundant in antioxidants, and so it has that free radical scavenging property that many of us, especially in this country, are looking for, because we're exposed to so many different toxins that we need our body to be able to eliminate daily. And remember, like I've mentioned, I did a whole show on antioxidants. You can go back into the archives and look that up. But remember, our antioxidants, they help the cells to resist oxidation. And oxidation is that process of cell aging that can lead to cell death, that causes our tissues to age and get older and become degenerated. So And then if you can reverse that, or if you can prevent that by consuming an antioxidant-rich diet, antioxidant-rich foods like cinnamon, then it leads to longer youthfulness in the body. In addition to that, cinnamon's most famous ability is that its combination of essential oils along with its phytochemicals and its fiber content, because cinnamon actually has a great deal of fiber. Even if you don't actually eat the cinnamon, if you were to just make a tea with the cinnamon, it has this lovely fiber, this soluble fiber in it, that just really helps to bind things like cholesterol and sugar. But it helps with lowering blood glucose absolutely well. Many medical studies have been done that test the cinnamon's blood glucose lowering ability, and it's very effective. But it just has to be used consistently. You have to consume it over a long period of time to really see its effect, and combine it with a diet that is conducive to the body healing itself from a high blood sugar problem like diabetes. For cholesterol, it also has been shown to help in lowering cholesterol as well. And again, this is because of that soluble fiber in cinnamon. This is especially useful if you actually eat cinnamon. The tea is great, especially for lowering blood sugar, but for cholesterol, you really want to eat the cinnamon and put it in food, because that fiber is going to really help to absorb some of the excess cholesterol from foods that we're eating in the intestine. Along with that, cinnamon has also been shown to help with lowering and regulating blood pressure, which suggests that cinnamon has a nice tonifying effect on the entire cardiovascular system. So if you're someone who would like to strengthen their cardiovascular system, to tonify it, cinnamon is a great herb to add, along with other cardiovascular herbs like hawthorn. You could add things like cayenne, horse chestnut, and, of course, a diet that is conducive to the body healing the cardiovascular system. Now, cinnamon can also be used in aromatherapy as well. Cinnamon is an excellent aromatherapy herb, especially as essential oil. Like I said at the beginning, it's one of those warming herbs. It's very comforting. It provides this sense of grounding. Cinnamon is used to ground a person back into, this world, or just back into the present. Let's say you're kind of feeling kind of frazzled and, kind of like just overwhelmed and almost like, things are getting away from you. Cinnamon is a great herb to smell. Just, get some essential oil and just smell it, and then just let it ground you. So very great herb. Use it in food. Use it as aromatherapy. One of my favorite things to use in the kitchen. Now, let's go on to the next medicinal autumn herb. And again, if you want to call in, if you have any questions about anything I said or any comments that are regarding to anything that I said about any of these herbs, don't hesitate to call in at 646-716-7572 and just press number 1 if you want to raise your hand and ask a question or make a comment. If not, then I'm going to continue on and talk about the rest of our fall medicinal herbs. So the next herb that I have on my list is clove. I love clove. Clove is a powerhouse. It comes from a tree. It's a tree that's actually native to Indonesia. And clove has been so valued in Asia and other parts of the world that people would come from all over to Indonesia to get this herb and then to, to cultivate it wherever from their respective areas. And it was so popular that it actually stimulated the economy of Indonesia for generations, for many, many years. And now everybody can cultivate it, so I don't believe that it's still the case, but I know that back in the day, Indonesia was known for its clove. It was known as being a clove resource. Now, like allspice, the active or the bioactive compound of clove that gives it most of its medicinal properties is eugenol. Eugenol is like a rock star constituent of herbs. And for this reason, clove exhibits many of those same qualities. So it's antimicrobial. So it has been shown to be very effective against different strains of bacteria, different strains of fungi and viruses. Clove also has analgesic and anti-inflammatory properties, which make it a great herb for use in, again, musculoskeletal complaints like arthritis and degenerative joint diseases like osteoarthritis, if you have autoimmune causes for joint issues. All of those things are indicated for the use of clove. There have also been a few studies done that show that clove oil may have some cytotoxicity effects against certain types of cancerous tissues, as well as an ability to inhibit the enzymes that lead to metastasis of cancer tissue. And, of course, these studies were done in, you know, in controlled medical laboratory setting under controlled conditions, so I'm not recommending that anyone try to dose or overdose themselves with clove extract or clove herb, you know, for treatment of cancer. But it is definitely something that should be considered as a part of the diet. You know, just using it as a spice in food, as well as bringing it up to your primary care doctor, who is, like, let's say, if you are under somebody's care for cancer treatment, this is something you can bring up to them to see if they have heard of the research done on clove in cancer, and that if that is something that is complementary for you to use. You can also see that you can also see, because of the chemical constituents in this plant, that it's just because of its antioxidant profile, because remember the eugenol, like in all spices, they're antioxidant, just helping cells to oxidize, and it helps with preventing cells from becoming cancerous as well, because it helps them to not even go toward that degeneration that leads to mutation in the first place. So, as you can see, this common fall herb, you know, has many health benefits that are similar to allspice because of the eugenol, but it can be used in the food over a longer period of time to just help prevent. It's really good for helping prevent a lot of these conditions from even arising. But if it is added to a diet that is conducive to the body healing, it will just add to the effort and to the nutrition and to the healing ability of the overall diet and lifestyle. So clove, excellent. Oh, and clove is another great oil, like I mentioned, for oral lesions. So things like toothaches, gum disease, or like gum sores, any kind of. I've even used it, like if you let's say if you bite the inside of your mouth and you get those sores because, you know, the mouth is healing and they just are still achy or they're still, you know, in pain. You can put some clove oil on there, and it'll really help take away the inflammation and the pain from that. So clove has also been used in mouthwashes and toothpaste as well, tooth powders, and it's extremely, extremely useful as a dental product. So keep clove in the house. Extremely useful. All right, next herb I have on my list is ginger. Ginger is one of the most commonly consumed dietary condiments in the world, like, period. Everyone uses ginger for something. It's a member of the plant family that includes cardamom and turmeric, for those of you who didn't know. And its spiciness and its aroma, the aromatic smell that it has, is mostly due to the ketones within the root, especially the gingerols. The gingerols are that main constituent that is in the essential oil of ginger that give it its properties, its healing properties. And this is the constituent that most of the time when you read studies about ginger, that's usually what they're studying, is the gingerols. The rhizome, of course, is what is used, which is a root, a horizontal root, is what is commonly used for consumption and as medicine. The oily resin from the rhizomes contains the many bioactive components within ginger, and it contains the essential oils. And there are some really remarkable pharmacological uses for ginger that are numerous, and I cannot even name all of them within the context of this show, but to keep it, you know, to keep it down to the most prominent uses of ginger, the most notorious is as a digestive. Ginger is great for the digestive system, but it's also anti-inflammatory as well. Ginger root is also extremely antioxidant, And it only is surpassed by pomegranate and certain types of berries, like blueberries, blackberries, and other darker berries, like elderberry, for example. But ginger is one of the most antioxidant-rich foods that you can eat, period. And because of this, ginger has been used in alternative medicine for the prevention of many degenerative diseases. Because remember, like I said, degeneration is basically oxidation, and that's the cell aging and cell death due to free radical exposure of our tissues. This, of course, makes ginger an excellent addition to the diet to reduce cell aging, you know, whether you're trying to help your skin, whether you already have a condition where your tissues, like your joints, or anything is in a degenerative state, you can utilize ginger to help to prevent the progression of that, and even in some cases to help reverse it. Ginger, like I said, has a notoriety for being a great digestive herb, and the reason for this is because the gingerols actually have an affinity for the tissues in the digestive tract. They accumulate in the digestive tract, actually, but they create this very beautiful therapeutic action when it is consumed regularly. Ginger works well as a carminative, and a carminative is basically just a fancy name for soothing the digestive tract. It's very good. It's very nourishing to the stomach. So those of you who have problems with like indigestion, sour stomach, any problems with overindulgence of food, like maybe you ate too much, then ginger is an excellent herb to help soothe that. Further down in the digestive tract, ginger can also help as well with dispelling gas, bloating. It can help with nausea, and it can help with motion and seasickness as well. I've never used it for that personally or have used it in any of my patients, but I have heard people use it for motion sickness, and it'd be very, very helpful. So if that's something that you suffer from, then you can try using ginger as a natural remedy for that. Along with its anti-inflammatory and antioxidant properties, ginger has exhibited antiplatelet activity as well, which means that it helps the body to not produce clots. So if you're somebody who's prone to forming clots, then this is something that could potentially be an addition to your diet to help that. Of course, if you're on medications, if you are under the care of a primary care physician that is monitoring your clot disorder, then this is something you should discuss with them as well, just to make sure that it's not going to interfere with any medications or your condition. But for the most part, if you're just consuming ginger as a food and not overdoing it, then adding ginger to the diet should be just fine. Ginger also has a beautiful effect on the cardiovascular system. It not only, because of its heat, the components in the essential oil of ginger that cause it to that give it its spiciness, they have a circulation stimulating effect. So for those of you again who have poor circulation, cold hands, cold feet, you know, you can consume ginger. Ginger tea especially is very good for increasing circulation and bringing blood to the periphery of the body, bringing it to the extremities. So absolutely useful for that. And then along with its antiplatelet, anti-clot-forming ability, it has this ability to regulate blood pressure and to help with lowering blood pressure. So if you are somebody that suffers from high blood pressure, don't be afraid of ginger. You know, just because it's hot, it doesn't mean that you have to take a lot of it, but just adding it to your food or taking a supplement with it, like a ground ginger in a capsule or a liquid ginger in a capsule daily, that can be very useful for people that have hypertension to help to regulate that blood pressure. Ginger also has cholesterol-lowering effects as well when used consistently. Again, this points to ginger's ability to not only to tonify the digestive system, which is where all of our cholesterol is taken up from, but it also nourishes the liver and it tonifies the liver. And our liver is that organ that processes the cholesterol that we consume. So those people who have problems with high cholesterol, ginger is a great herb to add to the diet that's already addressing cholesterol issues, and to help give you an extra boost in those efforts. Ginger is just Ginger is probably another one of my favorite herbs. I also consume ginger pretty much every week in something because it's just so beneficial. And it's really it's a tonic. Ginger is a very tonifying and tonic herb that can be taken over long periods of time. You don't have to worry about, taking too much of it or, taking it for only a certain amount of days and overtaking it. Ginger can be used in everything. So add it to all your food, smoothies, as a spice, as a seasoning, savory, sweet, doesn't matter. Ginger can be used every day, all day. And, again, eating it in this way, using it consistently, will just make it have a greater effect on your body. Another thing I want to mention, too, about ginger is I know that I've seen that just clinically, when people consume ginger consistently, especially if they're diabetic, ginger actually can help people with diabetes increase their insulin sensitivity, and it's very nourishing to the pancreas. So people who we put on ginger that have diabetes, their insulin sensitivity went up and their glucose tolerance tests, I've noticed, have been significantly better. But again, this is for people that consistently consume it over a period of time. I would say at least a month of consuming ginger regularly in good amounts, eating a combination of raw and fresh ginger. Because another thing I want to mention, too, is that depending on the form of ginger that you get can change the availability of those essential oils that we want. For example, fresh ginger has more of the essential oil in it than the dried ginger. That doesn't mean that dried ginger is not good to consume. This just means that you can expect for fresh ginger to have more of that the gingerols in it, so which is why fresh ginger is usually spicier and more potent than the dry ginger. But it depends on how you're trying to get it into your body. If you're wanting to add it to food, then you can add some fresh ginger to food, and you can also add some dry ginger. Dry ginger, on the other hand, it has a reduced amount of the gingerol essential oil, but it also has increased amounts of some of the other phytochemicals in ginger that are anti-inflammatory, antioxidant as well. And, that's the way it is. The fresh ginger is going to have more of the water-soluble constituents of ginger because there's still water and moisture in the root. And then the dry ginger is going to contain more of those fat-soluble, those phytochemicals that are more combined or not combined, that are adhered to the fiber and to the oil of the plant. So if you take the water out of ginger, you're not going to have as many of the water-soluble constituents. If you don't take the water out, you're going to have more of those water-soluble constituents. So just keep that in mind. So if you make a ginger tea, you're going to get a lot of those volatile oils in there as well because they've been maintained in that dry ginger. So I would say just get a mix of them a day. Have a ginger tea. Have fresh ginger in your food, put ginger spice, dried ginger in your food as well, so that you can get kind of a good combination of the different variations of ginger. So just keep it in your kitchen. Ginger is absolutely very useful and has many different ways that it can heal the body. Now, the last but definitely not least herb that I have on my list is sage. Sage is in everything, and I find that I have been using sage more and more as I learn more about it because I just find out something new about how sage can heal the body. I feel like every few weeks or so. Sage is the largest member of the mint family, believe it or not. It actually has over 900 species. There's so many different types of sage, even sages that we haven't even been introduced to yet. And many different people all over the world use sage for medicinal as well as culinary uses. And as we know, mint plants are mostly aromatic. And so because of that, flavoring is a very big use for sages or for mint. But mints are also very medicinal as well, and they're kind of on that soothing. They can be nutritive as well as uplifting, on that uplifting spectrum of our medicinal herbs. Sage tea has been traditionally used for the treatment of digestive and circulation disturbances. As far as the digestive, it's just it's another one of those carminative herbs. It helps to soothe a sour stomach. It helps with nausea. It helps with gas and bloating. As far as circulation, sage does have some constituents in its essential oil that have an effect on the cardiovascular system that helps with moving the blood. So if you're, again, if you're a person that has circulation problems, sage tea would be very useful for you. Some other uses for sage include upper respiratory disturbances such as bronchitis, cough, asthma. Sage has also been used to treat mouth and throat inflammation. So let's say you have a sore throat, a dry, scratchy throat, something that is affecting the throat because of allergies. Sage is a great tea, to take.
Are you saying sage?
Yes, sage, S-A-G-E.
Wow, I never knew all that. I just had to be sure that's what you were saying. Okay, you can continue.
Oh, no problem.
Wow.
Yeah, let me know if I, you know, sometimes my accent kicks in and, you know, I say things kind of funny. But, yes, sage. Sage, like, you would use in, like, stuffing or, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yes, it has a bunch of different medicinal properties. Like so yeah.
And I know a lot of us use sage for like energy cleansing and stuff like that, and you know, people put it in the dressing and stuff.
Yeah.
But I never knew it was good for like coughs and you hear my sister coughing now. We both got a little cough going on. So it's just interesting that you just
most of it. Most of the uses for sage are for the upper respiratory tract. So, yeah, so sage is a great tea, especially this time of the year when we're starting to get into the cold months, especially you. I know that you're out there where it's getting cold. And if you're up north, like if you're in the Midwest and things like that, get up on your sage tea because it will really help to prepare and to prevent the lungs from taking in that cold and some pathogens that could potentially come with the cold. And again, you know, this just speaks to how different seasons give us herbs that are useful for that time of the year because the earth knows. The earth knows what she's bringing, and she knows that we need things to support us when these seasons are changing. So sage is just one of those herbs that are very common, and actually it is in season, so if you are starting your herb gardens and things like that, sage is a great herb to add to your garden that you can harvest and use to help prevent colds and flus and things that come along with this time of the year. And it's a great repellent. It's a natural repellent for a lot of like those squash bugs and different mites and things that can attack other plants in your garden too. And we put down some sage in my garden as well. So that was a little side note about sage in the garden. But yes, respiratory disturbances absolutely useful for sage is useful for. And aromatically go ahead.
I was going to ask, is there a specific type of, can you use dry, like the dry sage? Is there any kind of particular that you recommend? And I know you were talking about a different, like I know like there's white sage and then the regular, you know, like different types of sage. I wonder if there's any one or is they are like you can follow them.
So not really. I don't really say that one sage should be used for in this case, for medicinal purposes over others. You can definitely, I know that there are differences with the essential oils in the sage that may cause it to behave a little differently. But for the most part, sages do similar things in the body. They all are going to have a similar chemical structure. So if you so I know that some sages are used more traditionally for like cooking.
Yeah.
And they're not so much used for as like a herbal tea or as, you know, like a, you know, for teas and things like that. So I would say I like using desert sage, for example, for smudging, because that has more of like an uplifting characteristic.
Yeah.
Now, the white sage, I like using in teas, and I like using as a medicine, like grinding up in capsules. That usually is, it has like a great, like a blood cleansing as well as like a antioxidant effect in the body. But it really doesn't matter what type of sage you use. And you can research it on your own and see the actual, like the small differences. But for the most part, they all will have similar properties. So,
Okay.
And that also brings me to, speaking of like the chemical structure of it, the aromatics are those aspects of the sage that help it to have that smell that is healing and that is therapeutic. So you can actually use sage. I just said smudging, but you can also put sage in like a pot and boil it like you're making tea, but you can also use that tea to scent the room. You can use it as like a facial steam, or like a like if you have like a stuffy nose or something like that, you can use it as a steam. But not only is it going to help with your stuffy nose, but it also is going to, it has an effect on the nervous system. The essential oils that are being let off in the steam, when you inhale them, it has this effect on the brain that helps to alleviate depression and anxiety.
Wow.
It just has like this kind of like head clearing. Yes, it has like this
smelling of the sage.
Yeah, just smelling the sage. You can use either the whole herb and you can like boil it like a tea, or you can take the essential oil and put it in an oil burner, or you can put it in water as well and just do like a steam. And that just really helps to clear your head. The same way we use it to burn and clear our bodies and clear the energy. You know, it does the same thing inside when we inhale those essential oils when we boil it. So,
So
you can use it for that. And also, another thing that sage is really good for is skin diseases. For those of you who are that have like eczema and who have like maybe some skin irritation, who maybe have like dry, itchy skin, especially during these times of the year when the weather's getting colder, the air's getting drier. Sage is a great herb that you can do baths with. You can put some of the leaves. You can do like you can put the leaves directly into the water, but I would say you can just put a sachet of sage, you know, get like a tea bag or something of sage, and you can take baths with it. And it really helps with soothing the skin, and especially if it's, let's say you have like a fungal infection or some other type of actual infection of the skin, like that's causing a rash of some sort, even like a boil or like blemishes, acne even, because acne is a bacterial infection of the skin, you can use it to wash the skin, wash the face, and it can help with getting those microbes off the skin that are causing the irritation. Now, you can also put sage in lotions and massage oils. You can put the essential oil in there, or you can put it in like a salve, and then you can apply it topically as well to the skin. And it really helps with soothing those types of ailments that are irritating and bothersome. Again, using sage topically, especially the essential oil, you can use it to apply to the limbs to help with circulation, because, again, it has that blood cleansing, but a blood moving property. It also is very, it helps with nerve pain as well. So like cloves and like allspice were used for nerve pain and people that have that kind of numbness, tingling in the hands and the feet. If you put sage essential oil in like a carrier oil, like an almond oil or like an olive oil or something, you can use it as a massage oil on the limbs, on the joints, to help with relieving those type of musculoskeletal and nerve pain. In addition, sage essential oil has also been shown to be antispasmodic, so it helps with cramping. So any kind of cramping, it's been used for menstrual cramps, cramps in the digestive system because of, you know, a spastic colon, or because of cramping in the colon as well. It can be used for muscle cramps of all kinds. So sage tea, and you can blend it with other herbs that are also soothing and calming, can really help with that as well. And it's antiseptic. Sage is extremely antiseptic. So you can, it's a great to use in like hand washes. You can use it for washing hair. It helps to get the, you know, to cleanse the scalp of any dirt and microbes. And if you have dandruff, because dandruff is a fungus, you know, you can use it for shampoo. It just and then it's astringent as well. So not only will you clean it of any kind of dirt, debris, and, you know, any kind of microbes that could be on there, but it also is astringent. So it helps the skin on the head, if you're using it for a shampoo, the skin on the outside, your actual skin on your body, or inside of you, it helps with astringent. And astringent just means it helps to tighten those tissues up. It helps it, like, let's say if you have if you have leaky gut, or if you have like a lot of food allergies, sage is a good herb to take to kind of to tighten up that digestive lining, to make sure your colon is not letting things in that it shouldn't be. So sage is absolutely wonderful. And the big component of sage that makes it behave the way it does and that gives it its medicinal properties is actually camphor. Camphor when you think of camphor, think of Vicks Vapor Rub. They actually use herbs like sage when they were first creating the Vicks Vapor Rub and those other camphor-like vapors that they use for people that have chest congestion and respiratory congestion and things. That comes from the mint family herbs like sage. So let's see. Oh, and the last thing about sage is that it's antioxidant. Like all of these other herbs, just mints of all kinds and sage included, it's very antioxidant. The essential oils are great at scavenging free radicals. They help with preserving the usefulness of the cells and the tissues that they create. So, again, if you are looking to help prevent the progression of a degenerative problem of the body, sage is another great herb you can add to your diet to help with that. So just, again, this is something absolutely that you should keep on hand. You can't take too much of it. I will say, though, sisters that are out there that are breastfeeding, do not consume sage because it will dry up your milk. You can consume it once you're done breastfeeding as much as you like, but not while you're breastfeeding. You will not be happy if your milk dries up. So definitely take it into consideration. So that's it for the fall medicinal herbs. I hope that was useful to you all. Definitely go out there, get these herbs. And even if you've been using them already, now you can use them consciously and use them in a way that you know that you are providing this healing food to yourself and to your family. So, yeah, that's it. I want me some cinnamon tea right now. I was thinking about that after I started talking about cinnamon. I'm going to give me some cinnamon tea. Now, that's pretty much it. So that's our first show, you guys. Our first show back from a hiatus. I hope that you all enjoyed it. I don't know if my sister is still here.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. I really enjoyed it. I'm over here, like, writing down, getting my list together. So I can get my heel on, my cleanse on. I'm ready to do my my fall solstice cleanse. I'm looking forward to that. I haven't done a cleanse in a long time.
Yeah.
I want to do a nice fast. Mm-hmm. I'm looking because I'm so busy these days. And normally when I did my cleanses and fast, I was kind of able to be in my own little zen place and all that. And it's just not like that anymore.
Yeah.
So I got to figure out a good way to what I'm doing right now.
Yes.
So, you know, I won't be so open and, you know, pulling all this type of energy and stuff. I need to be mellow. So I was adding some of this stuff in, especially like the cinnamon, the ginger, the allspice.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I did not know allspice. I didn't know about
it. Yeah,
allspice
is a heavy hitter. That's why people use it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I heard about it, but I never really kind of delved into it like I should have, and I'm happy you covered it because it gave me a chance to kind of, you know, hear about it so I can really look into it and see how I can include it into my regimen and what I'm doing.
Yeah.
show.
Right.
I really appreciate it. You gave a whole bunch of great information, as always. And I know family enjoyed it, yes. So I'm ready to heal. I know y'all are too. Y'all ready to do these, use these, some of these herbal, medicinal, autumn herbs to get your healing.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm ready, and I know y'all ready. So, sis, I do appreciate your show tonight, and I'm so looking forward to next week, and it's good to be back.
Yes, definitely catch us next week, family. And have a great weekend, and have a great start to your fall. And try to stay warm, both you and the pope.
Yes, and love, and see you guys next week.
Great.